so grateful for the incredible community we have in you, our listeners. And remember, it's never too late to show your support. Every contribution helps us continue our mission and keep WPFW strong for the future. Together, we can build a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Hello, I'm David Whetstone, and you're listening to member-supported WPFW Washington.
Good evening. It's just about 6 o'clock in the nation's capital. The name of this show is News Views. My name is Garland Nixon. I'm on every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. The phone number, and we got open lines. I know people got stuff to say, plenty stuff to say. 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. Well, I'm all excited because the Commanders play the Steelers. Yeah, that's really what I'm all excited about this weekend, the Commanders and the Steelers. You know, Jaden Daniels, number 5, going to do his thing. I think we got a chance. So, I mean, look, I'm being the real me now. I'm telling you, I am just freaking out about these Commanders Steelers. So, you know, okay, there was an election, whatever, but we got bigger fish to fry. But all jokes aside, those of you too, so we're going to take your calls, 202-588-0893. Let's hear what people have to say about the election. Oh, I would ask one thing. Refrain from this. Trump's terrible. Trump's evil. Trump's bad. He's bad. He's bad. Okay, we'll be all day, and we don't want everybody to call and say the same thing. Let's talk about the election. Let's talk about the dynamics of the election. As you know, if you listen to this show, last week, I made my final prediction. And my final prediction was, if those of you who recall, I said, notwithstanding the names of the nominees running for office, don't matter who it was, we can call them Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck. I said, given the economic circumstances, I see no way, and I'm paraphrasing, I see no way that the incumbent party is going to hold office. Therefore, my prediction last week was Donald Trump will win and it might get ugly, which it did. I went over the seats of the Senate, which I believed, and certainly it was West Virginia. It was Ohio, the number 1 and 2. I said also that with Sherrod Brown, Manchin was gone, right? I also said watch Bob Casey's seat and watch Tammy Baldwin's seat. But both of those are dead even, and if everything trends Republican, they'll probably lose. Therefore, I said there's no universe I see in which the Republicans don't take the Senate. And I said, and the likelihood is, if everything's trending red, they're going to keep the House. And that was the way I went. I just saw no possible way in this economic. Now, people go, oh, it was racism. In 1990, George H.W. Bush had a 90% approval rating. In 91, he had that, 91. In 1992, we fell into a recession and he lost. I'm sorry, whatever you think, there was a lot of things going on. We could discuss all kinds of things. When the economy goes to crap, you're going to lose. And I don't care if you tell everybody, oh, the economic indicators are this. Let me tell you something. When you go in the grocery store, there's not a price. You don't look down for lettuce. Hey, white people pay this price. Black females pay this price. Oh, no. Gotcha. Latinos pay this. But that ain't the way it works. Everybody goes in there and says, I used to pay $1.79. Why am I paying $4? You ain't winning. I'm sorry. It is what it is. And being that I'm an independent, I'm not either one. I'm not emotionally invested. I hate both parties. I see them as nothing but warmongering cults. I see it differently then. I didn't have a dog in the hunt. So I'm just trying to call it. This is the way I see it. They're going to lose. And the Democrats were soundly defeated. And now what I hear is this. The black males, the white females, the Latino. Look, yes, the black males didn't vote for Kamala enough, and this group and that group. That's kind of the definition of losing. When people don't vote for you, you lose. You can break them down into every category you want. When you don't get as many votes as the other person, you're going to lose. Whether you break them down into one category, did you know this? 90% of the counties and municipalities in this country, Trump improved his numbers over the last 2 times. When the economy goes to crap, That's going to happen. People were not happy. The numbers said 70% of Americans felt the country was going in the wrong direction. It didn't take Nostradamus. I didn't have to look at it. I didn't have to know what the females, the black men, the this, the that. I didn't need to know any of that. 70% of Americans feel that the country is going in the wrong direction. You go and get a butt whooping if you are the incumbent, and that's what happened, and people can't handle it. And if you go around saying, if the Democrats, well, we only lost because of sexism, and they're not able to do an introspective view and say to themselves, gee, why did we lose? Perhaps we should focus a little bit more on the economy. Maybe genocide is not really a great electoral strategy. Perhaps they could look into the details of why they lost instead of just going, yes, these worked stupid working class black males and females. They failed the ruling elite. How dare them not vote for their masters? Yeah, you're going to lose him worse in 2028. If that's your answer, the future ain't bright. The future's not bright, okay? It's almost like the person who's an alcoholic. They lose the job, their wife, their kids, their house, and everything, and they're willing to do anything to change their circumstances except stop drinking. 202-588-0893. Quick housekeeping. Number one, if you call, please do not set the phone down and listen to the computer or the radio for me to call you. We have a 10-second delay. And if I say next caller, you ain't going to hear it for 10 seconds unless the phone is at your ear. Keep the phone at your ear. Number two, no speakerphones. Speakerphones sound horrible. Horrible, horrible, horrible on the radio. So keep your mouth close to the receiver. Speak loud and clear. We really want people to hear you. This is community radio. It's important that people hear what you have to say. This ain't CNN, Fox, or MSNBC where you don't get a vote. This show is about you, not me. And we want to hear what you got to say. 202-588-0893. Let's go. First caller. You're in the air, on the air. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Call me Nostradamus, because I saw this coming a mile away.
Talk to me about, so what are your thoughts? Are you hurt? Is your feelings hurt? Are you a Democrat? Are you an independent? What do you think?
Well, I'll tell you this. Because I'm calling from D.C., and the Initiative 83 passed, which means that we now have ranked choice voting, and independents can vote in the primary. So while I have been a registered Democrat, that will soon change. So I voted this election as a registered Democrat. I proudly did not vote for either of the main establishment candidates. I wrote in Jill Stein, because in the District of Columbia, they felt it was necessary to leave Robert F. Kennedy on the ballot, even though he withdrew from the race. I think that was an effort to try to, you know, draw some votes away from Trump. But I knew in D.C. Kamala was going to win. There was no question in my mind. So, you know, I've been voting and pulling for third-party candidates for years. So I went on and tried to help the third party get 5%. Mm-hmm. Tried to help Jill Stein get the 5%. So I put my vote there. However, it was just like the last time that Trump, the first time that Trump ran, I should say. It became, after a while, it became apparent, at least to me, he's going to win this. He's going to win this. And I would have to just say that it's all the Democrats got what they had coming to them. They got what they had coming to them because all of this failure to produce any sort of policy in the campaign. And the only thing I heard was Trump is bad. We don't want Trump. Trump is bad. No Trump. Well, when I was a little girl, I grew up middle class. And then, well, what about this policy of Vice President Harris? Well, when Trump did, wait a minute. So we either know about you grew up middle class or how bad Trump is. I did not hear anything about policy, at least nothing original. I did hear some repackaging of Trump policies go on, but I did not hear anything original. So I just have to say this. Democrats, please, please, get it together. Get it together, because if you're going to start out the way that you did the first time, you're already making plans on how you're going to oppose him and block him. The people have spoken. And like I said, I did not put my vote behind, but you just broke it down for everybody. Numbers went up everywhere. Everywhere. So that is a mandate if I have ever heard one. So if they're going to, how did it work out for you last time when all you did was oppose? You came up with, Russiagate. Throughout Russiagate. Came up with an impeachment. He did everything in the world to try to, he came up with 34 indictments, 34 charges to come up with 34 fake indictments. The man still improved his numbers. So what does that tell you? What does that tell you?
Well, thank you very much. We got a bunch of callers, but I certainly appreciate the call. So there's our first caller. Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Garland. It's Leo calling long distance from Lisbon, Portugal.
My brother Leo, what's happening? What are your thoughts?
Oh, well, I've been, where do I begin? I've been following up with this election on Tuesday. I mean, I definitely can proudly say that I managed to cast my ballot, from Portugal, because as a U.S. citizen, I'm eligible to vote from wherever I am, even from Mars. But I can proudly say that I did cast my ballot. So when I found out the outcome, and I stayed up all night basically because of the time zone. I was trying to, and it was evening, it was bedtime here in Portugal, while it was around 7 p.m. back in the States, and I was following up with the results and whatnot. And as I saw the number of electoral votes that Trump was gaining over Harris, I knew this wasn't good. I knew this was very bad for Harris, but I was neither upset nor disappointed nor delighted.
Were you surprised? And, let me ask you this.
One thing.
Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was somewhat surprised, but I already knew that this was that this was obviously coming. Mm-hmm. Because let's face it, we're talking about a political party and the incumbent party that has failed the people, that has failed the American public miserably. Both domestic and foreign policy wise. I mean, I'm more focused on the foreign policy mm-hmm. perspective, given that I'm, pursuing my master's degree in international studies at the moment. And if you see Joe Biden's policy when it comes to Israel, backing Israel, and he openly said that he's a Christian Zionist, and we're talking about a guy who has enabled the massacre, the atrocity of Israel against Palestinians, and look at where we are today.
Yeah, two letters.
40,000 Palestinian.
G and G, right? G and J lost for G and G. Groceries in Gaza. That's my opinion.
Right.
Groceries in Gaza. That's what killed them.
And indeed, and this is what impacts it also, and eventually that also impacts Americans at home, because they can't even afford to live. They can't even afford
yep.
to pay rent. They
yep.
can't afford to make ends meet. And why? Because the U.S. government failed. The empire failed us. Failed the American yep. Public.
Well, I got to jump, unfortunately, Leo. We got a bunch of calls today, but I certainly appreciate your call. 202-588-0893. Got a couple of open lines. I know a lot of people want to talk. 202-588-0893. Next caller, you are on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Make sure you turn off that radio in the background, because I can hear my voice. Go ahead.
Garland, how are you? This is Ron from Fairfax.
Talk to me, Ron.
Hey, yeah, so you gotta ramble on. I'm going to make this real short. I didn't care for Harris or Trump. They're both horrible. But it is glorious that the anti-genocide voters stood up and just said no to Harris. It was a flat no to Harris. The media will never, ever, the media, the man, never admit that's why she
No,
stopped.
They can't. They can't admit
yeah,
that.
And so for me, it was a win in general for the anti-war movement, but specifically for the anti-genocide movement. So we're going to keep it going. I'm so excited. It did not die this week.
You know what was interesting about that? I heard this Muslim woman from Dearborn, Michigan, and they asked her, you know, well, what about Trump? She said, let me explain something to you. I'm paraphrasing. She said, you know, we can't stop the genocide, and, you know, there's not much we can do, but there is one thing we can do. We can knock the people of the most powerful empire in the world out of power, and we're going to do that. So it was like, you know what I mean? It was almost like she was saying, you know, it ain't a whole lot we can do, but we can kick them right in the groin, right? We can poke them in the eyes, and we may not do anything else. They didn't care about Trump. They didn't care about nothing. They just wanted to get a punch in. You know what I mean? And I'm like, what am I going to say to that woman? Her people are being slaughtered by these people. You know, I'm furious. You know, the truth is this. It upsets me. The genocide upsets me so bad sometimes. I have post-traumatic stress disorder over that. So don't ask me to cry over a bunch of genociders. I don't even want to hear about Trump. What they're doing is so unthinkable that they got a punch. Fine. You took it. You decided you wanted to do genocide, and you got wiped out. And now, hey, it is what it is. Trump, hey, look, I was going to get you supporting Israel. If they won, they were going to support Israel. If Trump wins, he's going to support Israel in this genocide. Whoever wins is going to support it, so I might as well get a punch in on the people that's doing it now. I think that's the way a lot of people felt. And my fury and anger is at a level that I wasn't mad a bit. I was like, okay, good, y'all got what you got coming to you. I don't care. Don't even want to hear about Trump. You're genociding. Well, I can't use that kind of language on on the air.
Let me tell you real quick what I heard in some of these interviews. The one that resonated with me, they had one of the they interviewed some Arab American in Dearborn. They said, under Trump, my family managed to survive, but under Biden, my family in Lebanon and Gaza did not survive. And that's
how you gonna argue with that man? How you gonna argue with that man? All right. Yeah, thanks a lot. We got a couple more. Certainly appreciate it. 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. Next caller. We got some open lines. Next caller, you're on air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Paul. I'm calling from Maryland.
Talk to me, brother.
I want to talk about the election. I bet all my friends that they were going to lose, but she started too late, and she got hoodwinked. But the Republicans kept telling her she got all these games and all this stuff, and then Trump orchestrated two supposedly attempts to kill him, which I knew was orchestrated. And then all these Republicans like John Bolton, of all people, saying that he's not supporting Trump. That to me was a load of nonsense. And they believed it. So she had a right to lose. I knew she was going to lose. She started too late and she's not ready.
I think it was, man, what do you think about this? You remember this dude that ran for governor or whatever in New York, and he was like, the rent's too high. You know, man, when prices are high, if you're in office, you're going to take the hit for it. What do you think about that? You're going to take the hit. You're going to lose. I don't care if they ran, if it was her and Trump. I don't care if her and Trump both dropped dead 1 month before the election and they changed them out for somebody else. When prices are high, the people who are in office are going to lose.
Exactly. And the young people don't like the Democratic Party.
No, they're through with them.
Struggle.
They're done with them. Yeah, they're done with them. All right. Thanks a lot. 202-588-0893. Next call, you're on air. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Yes, hi. Louise from Baltimore.
All right. Speak loudly and clearly so we can hear you.
Hi. I was just calling to talk about the grocery part, the G in grocery. I would just like to say I didn't need any billionaire like Mark Cuban to get on 60 Minutes and tell me that the economy is great when I can't afford, you know. And I would like to give a concrete example of what I'm talking about. we have energy assistance and energy assistance here in Maryland. My energy assistance got reduced from $1,500 to about $400 and some dollars. That only gets you like 100 gallons of gasoline,
right?
And that won't get you through the winter. Before that wouldn't have gotten you through the winter. It's really not going to get you through the winter this time. And then on top of that, excuse me. So they're spending billions and billions of dollars, sending billions and billions of dollars over to Israel and Ukraine,
mm-hmm.
but they're cutting our money to get through the winter, because they don't have enough money. And then on top of that, when they sanctioned Venezuela,
mm-hmm.
There was a program that RFK Jr. had with
yep.
Venezuela.
Yep.
And that helped bridge the gap.
Yep.
But now that can't even be bridged because Venezuela can't afford to have the program anymore because of the
sanctions
embargo.
The sanctions
they have against them. So I just a concrete, you know, I just want to give that a concrete example of, you know, when people say the economy, this is how this is affecting us out here.
Yeah, well, you know what, let me add this. Something you said, people see, because it's not like, oh, well, this just happened, the prices go up. People look at it and they say, you know, look, you got $100 billion can go, oh, well, we've got to stand up for Ukraine or Israel or whatever, whoever it is. It's always Taiwan, somebody that ain't, but it ain't Baltimore, I'll tell you that,
no.
Right? We got $100 billion for this. And you're like, you could give all of us heat. Everybody mm-hmm. in the country, nobody mm-hmm. would have to be cold at mm-hmm. no cost based on that one allotment of money that you send to a place that I don't even know where it is.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? Every 4 years, you're going to come to me and say, you have to vote for me because I have a black woman, a black male, a gay person, whatever. You're going to tell me I got to vote for this person. But when I look in the mirror and you got money for, you know what, like Malcolm X said, we vote for them. We put them first. They go there, they get in office, they got money for everything else. And if they got a crumb at the end, they put us last. We put them first, and they put us last. And I think people are just sick of it.
That's right. And then the thing is that we don't get a good return on our investment. I mean, we invest 100% into the Democratic Party, and we get nothing for it, basically.
Yep. And you know all we get? When they lose, they blame us. Well, you know, black women didn't show, black men didn't show. Well, wait a minute. This is supposed to be transactional. You ever heard of the radio station WIIFM? What's in it for me? And if, you know what people going to do? They're going to stay home on election day. They're going to rake leaves. They're going to look out the window. They're going to smoke a joint. They're going to do something, but they're not going to go vote because ain't nothing in it for them.
Exactly. And then the thing is that I don't think that Trump necessarily had a mandate because his numbers stayed the same. It's that most people this time stayed home.
Exactly.
And did not vote. And to me, that's a vote within itself.
Yes.
Because you can't give me a false choice and then tell me, you know, that I have to choose between a false choice. You can't do that. And if I stay home and not vote, then I'm telling you, that's my vote. That's how I vote. That's
how
I choose.
You make a very important point, and that is this. They talk about all of the people who, well, this group didn't show up, that group showed up. You know what they forget? I think around 55% of eligible voters or something like that, a huge number of eligible voters just didn't show up.
Yeah.
People that just felt, man, why I'm gonna do this? Ain't nothing in it for me. People that were very poor, that didn't have much, that just said, I don't care who wins, I'm not getting nothing out of it. Why should
Either
I
way.
Waste my time? They forget
exactly.
that a whole bunch of people stayed home. Why did they stay home? Because you offered them nothing, you did nothing, and 4 years ago, they could afford to live a little better. And even if Trump don't make nothing no better, at least they got a little bit of revenge. So, all right. Well, thank you. Appreciate the call. Mm-hmm. 202-588-0893. Next call. You're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is Dennis. I'm calling from Oxon Hill.
I'm all ears.
Listen, man. I'm listening to the conversation. And I liked your lead, and you did bring home some very interesting points. And you put the economy indeed weighed very heavy on the electorate. But, you know, I'm hearing, I'm dismissal of the Democratic Party and what they didn't do right or wrong. Those who are associated with the party, have you interjected some ideas of some strategy to change all of this? I mean, to sit back and Monday morning quarterback about a situation that you could have altered. The woman got off to a flying start. She ended with the impression that a change was coming forth. You know, we're talking apples and oranges when we talk about money distributed over here in this country and that. You don't know how she would have performed had she been given the chance to govern.
Well, let me say, I'll let you talk, but let me say this.
Go ahead.
I predicted that she would. Now, on this, people who listen to this show will tell you, here's what I said. I said, in 2020, Kamala Harris started off with her numbers when she ran for president with real high numbers, because the idea, she's a pretty woman, she's attractive as a candidate, and she's a female, and all, she's got a background and all that. She started off with high numbers in 2020. The more people heard her, her numbers cratered until she had to drop out. I said, that's what happened in 2020. She started off high, the more people heard her, the less they liked her, and she bottomed out and she had to drop out. And I said, and I predict that the same thing will happen, because she's a terrible candidate. And I said, they put her out there, they ain't gonna win, because she's a really bad candidate. She was a bad candidate in 2020, and she's a bad candidate now. Okay. And the more people hear her, the less they like her. But I don't think, I'll say one other thing and I'll go back to you. I don't think anybody the Democrats could have put up would have won, because the prices are high and you're not going to win if you're in office and the prices go through the roof. Go ahead, brother. I'm listening.
Okay, well, again, you speak apparently on some great knowledge. A lot of that I will not dispute. But I will say this. My observation of Ms. Harris was that of one, I was very impressed. I thought she came in well-spoken, certainly well-educated, and well-deserving of an opportunity. She certainly had the credentials, the education, the background, the experience in several levels of government. I thought she spoke well and carried herself very well. Of course, no politician is going to answer and ask every question as it should be. That's the way.
I didn't hear her answer any. I'll be honest. I never heard her answer a single question. Every time I watched her, I never heard her answer a question. But go ahead.
I think when she did answer, it was so aligned with the Biden administration, what they did. You couldn't separate her from his administration. And that's what I think her weakest point was. Other than that, to me, she brought a spirit of hope. And you would dare think that, damn, here comes a breath of fresh air, inclusive of all peoples. You cannot live beside the gay, the lesbian, the white or the black, the Latino, without there being a meshing of personalities, characters, abilities, and so forth. And this is life. You can't dismiss a certain group of people because of their sexual orientation. Or the color?
I don't think that had nothing to do with why she lost.
No. Yeah, I think the white evangelicals, that played a part.
What about all the black folks that voted for Trump?
Well, that's what I'm going to say, too.
What about all the Latinos that voted for Trump? What about all the Asians that voted for Trump? Everybody voted for Trump.
Well, they voted for Trump based on, I believe, more than anything else, economics.
Yes, exactly. It wasn't about race or gay or anything.
Nevertheless, I think the opportunity that Kamala has presented to me, I equated it with Obama's. We supported him in lockstep. I think Harris should have been given the same opportunity with as many votes as humanly possible from the black community.
Well, I understand that, but I'll say the only thing I'll say is this. Apparently about a huge I'll put it like this. It wasn't like it was even close. This is one of the worst beatings I've ever seen any party. The Republicans got the House, they got the Senate, they got the White House, they got the Supreme Court. The Democrats have been wiped out.
Yes. And again, I'll leave with this.
They got to look in the mirror and ask themselves, when you get beat that bad, you got to look in the mirror and ask yourself, and you got to say, you know what? We can't blame nobody. We have been beaten everywhere. If you don't look in the mirror and say, we had to have done something wrong, then you're doomed to 2028 for the same thing. If they don't say to themselves, why is it that working class people of all races, all sexes, everybody rejected us and went for this guy? He's a let's face it, Trump is no FDR by any stretch of the imagination. He's a clown. They lost to Trump. That's kind of embarrassing. That's all I'm saying.
All right, boss man. Look, keep on the good work and keep this open, man. We need this discussion.
Thank you. I appreciate the call, and I appreciate everybody calling and giving their opinion. 202-588-0893. We're talking now. If it was up to me, to be quite frank, we'd be talking about Jaden Daniels and the Commanders. But I have a responsibility. I'm spending the whole weekend. I got my Commanders hat already. I got my whole weekend. I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm all on pins and needles. We got to beat the Steelers, but we can't talk about that right now. Let's get back to election. 202-588-0893. Next caller, you are on the air. What's your name? Where you calling from?
T-Bird from Upper Marlboro, Maryland.
Talk to me, brother.
Well, one thing that I have to point out is a couple calls ago, I heard a lady say that a lot of people stayed home. And if you look at the total number of voters compared to the last election,
mm-hmm.
it looks like they're 18 million voters short.
Mm-hmm.
I could be wrong, but
yes, you're right.
To my eyes, and some of that is the economy. I think some of it is Gaza. Cause
yes.
I personally found the lack of morality in among us. By us, I mean black people.
Mm-hmm.
Who just want someone who's a white supremacist because they have a black face, or who supports white supremacy. Because that's supporting genocide and apartheid, which is nothing but the segregation that everybody used to have here. When I was reading Tallahassee Coates, he was saying that it's even worse because they had separate water fountains in the United States. They wouldn't even let them drink from the same water supplies in Israel.
Yep.
I mean,
they got streets. They had streets, roads that Jewish Israelis could drive or walk on the roads, and Palestinians couldn't even walk or drive on the same road. But we okay with that? Black folks okay with that?
That's what I'm hearing, but maybe nobody was actually saying that, because once Tallahassee Coates said that, no more interviews on CNN and MSNBC and CBS. So maybe partially it's a meter. It's partially that everything isn't like WPSW where you hear all things. But regardless, Kamala Harris knows what's going on. If she says they have people without an Army, Navy, Air Force that's given 14,000 bombs by the United States,
mm-hmm.
2,000-pound bombs, and I forget how many 4,000-pound bombs. Remember, they got no Army, Navy, Air Force. And they're given all this bombing equipment by Israel. It's the United States doing it, not Israel.
You know what? I had a guy.
Oh, Europe doing it.
I had a guy tell me that when he was in Afghanistan, he said 2,000-pound bombs caused a lot of damage. And to drop those, you know, they had to get clearance and all this, because if you dropped it in an area, it would spread in a big area. And, you know, they had to get clearance to drop a 2,000-pound bomb.
Right.
We dropping them on tents. Tents. Yeah. Burning people to death. And you wonder why you got beat. And you wonder why you got beat. The brakes beat off of you.
Yep. And since the United States can't beat Iran any other way, I expect a nuclear war. Because it's not Israel. It's the United States. The planes that they have are U.S. planes. They cannot reach Iran from Israel. They have to be using U.S. bases.
Yep.
So, you know, it's us against the Arab world. And if the Arab world doesn't stick together, and because they got leaders who are paid off like Kamala, I feel sorry for them. But I feel sorry for us if we're so immoral that we support it. And we do support Ukraine in its entirety. And Israel, too, because Israel would be a failed state if it wasn't.
Don't even. You're
the
right.
United States.
They don't. Look, if we stop giving Israel bombs and ammunition tomorrow, that war's over.
Yeah.
That war's over. So it's us.
Israel may be over because.
Yes.
All
they're
the
broke.
Businesses are going bankrupt since the Houthis did their thing. And
they're broke.
All the things coming in there, and since a lot of the Arab world is not doing business.
And you know what?
Longer.
Kamala said, I support Israel unconditionally and all that. Well, now she can support him on her own time. Yes. Now she's going to have a lot of time on her own. And she can support him all she wants to.
And she can call for them to continue to have free health care and
how about that?
College schooling, because we sure ain't going
to
get it.
People, Americans don't know that. In Israel, they go to college for free. In Israel, everybody has health care. They got Medicare for all because we pay for it.
Yeah, one final thing I want to mention. She could have talked about Trump's hypocrisy in terms of the tariffs he's putting on China.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have 3,500 exceptions, and they're all big businesses.
But guess
Elon
what?
Elon Musk gets a big exception, but we can't get a cheap one-fourth of the cost vehicle from China or free solar panels that are dirt cheap because those things that don't give the billionaires more money do not. We don't have the same things, and that's whether it's Kamala or
Trump. Guess what? You notice she didn't do a whole lot of complaining about Trump's foreign policy. Because hers ain't, because it ain't Trump's foreign policy. It's American imperialism is what it is. All right, thanks a lot, brother. 202-588-0893. Next call, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
What's going on, Garland? It's Max calling from Maryland.
Talk to me, brother.
So, you know, I agree with Bernie Sanders when the Democratic Party ultimately, this is a 20-year plight that has come crashing and falling, most definitely.
You don't think hanging out with Liz Cheney helped, huh?
Like in terms of trying to get maybe some of like the moderates, maybe, but in Michigan when they shunned the Muslim congresswoman, that was a terrible move. But ultimately, I still think as a society, if we care about this country, we should still also direct our attention to the next administration. Because I guess my opinion here is that even though people say we went against the party that supported Israel, that's a twofold. And Give me one second.
Well, and it's not the party. Again, it's American foreign policy. That's why you can bring in Obama, you can bring in Trump, you can bring in Biden. American foreign policy, when it comes to certain things, I don't care who you bring in, the machine is going to continue to do the same thing.
But I think my point is people we need to focus more on now. For example, in the Democratic Party, you still had people in the House and people in Congress who had their issues with this crisis, whereas in the Republican Party, you don't have a single member of Congress that care about this crisis. Ted Cruz won't care.
Yep.
Mike Johnson is one of the biggest Zionists in this country. He's funded by a Republican, conservative Jewish Zionist group and Christian group that want to destroy Gaza. Miriam Adelson is the wealthiest Jewish American in the country, worth $35 billion. She donated $100 million to the Trump campaign to annex Gaza, annex the West Bank, and see to it that they never exist. So Mehdi Hassan worded it great. We said the same thing when Muslims voted for Bush in 2000, and I don't blame them because the Democrats failed. But we said the same thing. It can't get worse, right, because of Clinton in the Middle East. Well, you got Iraq. You got Guantanamo Bay. You got Black Site. So when people say it can't get worse, I would argue that because—
I didn't hear anybody say that, to be honest. I didn't hear that at all.
And even when Trump took over for Obama, we want to talk about drone strikes and bombs. Throughout all of the Bush years and Obama years, I think we dropped a total of like 150 strikes in Yemen. Trump in 1 year struck.
But now let me say something. I never heard anybody say it can't get worse. What I heard people say was, yeah, we're going to get the same thing with Trump, but at least we're going to get in. We're going to get our punch in. Interestingly enough here, I think people were very sober about this. Everybody that I talked to, the people that I talked to that were Trump voters one way or the other, were very much acknowledging that when it comes to Trump, when it comes to Israel, when it comes to this or that, you know, we're going to get the same old crap. Right. So I don't think not the people that I were talking to that they were deluded into thinking that they were going to improve their circumstances. I think to a lot of people, it wasn't about Trump. They weren't voting for Trump. They were just so angry at the Democrats. They felt like they got to pay. They got to go. It's boom. OK, we're going to get something else that we don't like. If we're going to get something that we're going to like, these people are going to pay while they go. And then we'll get the same thing or whatever the case. So I don't think that it was about we're improving ending things now with Trump, that would have been delusional. And I don't think that the voters were delusional.
And hear me out. So I halfway agree with you. But at the same time, I would still also say by basically punishing the Democrats, we are ultimately still rewarding Gavir. We're rewarding Netanyahu. We're rewarding the Kushner family. And I guess to even push this into, like, I want to take this kind of topic into, like, immigration as well, because I know people constantly called Obama the chief in deporter, right? So that was true. Obama was the chief in deporter. However, Obama's specific border policy was mostly national security threats, and he still was strict on asylum, but a lot of it was national security. Under the Trump administration, he diverted the entire budget of the DHS, the entire functions and operations, to asylum. And because of that, we saw the trend that began under Biden of all this unvetted immigration, more criminals getting in, and more asylum people hampered back. That all started under Trump's policies because he was filling all the detention centers with asylum seekers, and in turn, in 3 years of Trump's presidency, you held back the asylum process, and mm-hmm. he let 58,000 criminals in. He let 8,000 violent criminals in. So Trump actually was more stopping legal immigration than he was border security.
Well, here's what I would say. I understand your argument, but it didn't hold a lot of water because the Democrats got obliterated. And my point is this. You can sit around and talk about why the Democrats should have won or how the Republicans are bad or whatever, right? Whatever you want to talk about.
Yeah.
If I get beat that bad, right, I'm going to sit down and say, let me see. Let me figure out what I did wrong, what I can do differently, reminiscing about why I should have won because people didn't understand. They ain't going to get you nothing but beat again. The Democrats got to sit down and look in the mirror and say, what can we do differently? Otherwise, they're going to get crushed again. And if their position is we can't do anything differently, well, that's fine. But understand your party's going to go the way of the Whigs and the Know-Nothing Party. You'll be out of here. So it's up to them to look in the mirror.
No, I agree. Going forward, it is ultimately up to them. But I will say the Trump misinformation, disinformation campaign is probably still one of the greatest campaigns ever. I mean, like, so,
I don't
so,
even
like,
I don't even know what you're talking about there, to be honest. People are smart, man.
Let me elaborate.
People are smart.
Whenever you talk about a Russian collusion, you only talk about the Steele dossier. I've read everything.
No, that's a false. I do not only talk about the Steele. Wait a minute. That's just a false accusation. I rarely talk about the Steele dossier. You're making fun. You only talk about, no, there is no part of that Russiagate thing, which I think Trump beating the brakes off of him now kind of shows that maybe in 2016 it was fake. Whatever the case, why even go there? They got beat.
I
read the Mueller probe cover to cover. My point is this.
Yeah, the Mueller probe was not fake.
My point is,
working with Russia.
All that got him beat. All this stuff you're talking is why they are crushed now. They need to come up with something looking forward, where instead of whining about Russia and whining about this and that they start thinking, what can we do for the working class that will incline them to vote for us? Otherwise, they're going to get it. We need less historians and more pioneers. You get the last word. What do you think?
So I agree with you, but what I'm saying is that ultimately, like, nothing Trump's proposing for the working class. And what I'm saying is it's basic ethics.
No, I didn't hear you. What'd you say? Well, I didn't hear that. You weren't clear. You said nothing what?
I said ultimately there's not really anything Trump's proposing for the working class.
No. I said the Democrats. I'm not talking about Trump right now. I said the Democrats need to look in the mirror and say, we've got to do this or that for the working class. We got to do something. When you lose this bad, you need a plan to do something different. Clearly, what you're doing isn't working.
No, and I agree.
You can't just sit around and whine. Well, they should have voted for. Well, they didn't. What are you going to do? They're looking at you saying, you ain't doing nothing for me. What are you going to say next time? What is your game plan next time? Whining about the past ain't going to get you nothing, brother.
I'm not whining. I'm telling you.
I'm saying the Democrats.
I'm telling you about the future. I'm saying by punishing the Democrats, we ultimately did put in probably one of the most corrupt.
You're still not talking about the Democrats. It don't matter what Trump is. He beat him.
You guys talked about Joe Biden the last 3 years and said nothing about Trump. So, yeah, now
it doesn't matter.
I'm going to talk about Trump.
It don't matter. Well, that's how they got beat. Okay, so cool. Then keep doing it then. That's the plan. That's the plan then. Go move forward.
That's how America lost. That when the same way that when the IDF rapes immigrants, when the same thing happens, when Trump is having Hispanics raped at record rates in camps, we punish the Democrats. Okay, cool. And then when Russia gives up Ukraine and it's an apartheid and then we turn it into apartheid. We punish the Democrats.
Take a breath, brother. Take a breath.
That's all you can live on.
Take a breath. Slow up now. You're getting a little, I put it like this. Let me say this. When someone doesn't agree with me, I like to give them a little more time than other people, because I feel like it is important in order for us to grow as human beings. The important thing is to talk to people that you disagree with. So I've been giving you a little more time simply because of this, because you don't agree with me. And I think the healthiest thing for this show is for people that don't agree with me to get a little more time. Do you think that's reasonable?
I agree.
My point to you has been this. But my point to you is this. I mean, Trump's bad, blah, blah, blah. Okay.
He's the president.
Hear me out, and I'll give you the last say. Okay, I understand you believe that, but it didn't work. When a plan doesn't work, you need a new plan. Calling a radio station and just telling everybody how bad Trump is didn't work. Don't you think perhaps they should try something else?
That's all you do every week and say the I never hear you say anything bad about Republicans. You don't say anything bad about what they do. Never.
Well, you got the last word. Thank you very much. I certainly appreciate the call. All right, next caller, 202-588-0893. Next caller, and that's me. You know, I want to give people opportunity, especially those that don't agree with me. You know, that's cool. That's a good thing to do. That's how I expand my horizons, and I want to make sure I'm fair on the radio. 202-588-0893. Next caller, you're on the air. We only got time for a few more callers. It is your turn. Let's roll.
Hi, it's Maggie. How you doing?
Talk to me, Maggie. What's happening? I'm doing well.
I've been waiting since Wednesday morning to call and tell you that you're right again, and you get on my nerves. But all jokes aside, there's several things wrong with the campaign. Number one, while we were placing ballots in the boxes, they were bombing people, children. I don't think a lot of people listen to WPFW, but the children are being blown up. They're not hearing about the atrocities, because I've heard a lot of church people very upset that she lost. So it's like, where are your minds? Secondly, she ran an elitist campaign.
Mm-hmm.
I did not really follow the campaign. I didn't even watch the election. I watched Law and Order. But I do recall hearing, you know, all the luminaries, Megan Thee Stallion, and, you know, all these stars. I don't recall hearing about any just regular folks.
Yep.
One gentleman got on your call and said that she should have had the same attention and support as President Obama. Not necessarily. Number one, there's a war going on. Number two, he did run a grassroots campaign. Yes, he had luminaries, but she didn't have any.
You know what? Let me say this real quick. You know, I'm an independent. I'm neither Republican or Democrat. So I got my issues with Obama or Trump or all of them. Right. But I'll say this. I have to be honest. Obama was a brilliant person and he was a great speaker. Now, I don't believe that he followed up on the policies for poor people that he should have. But credit where credit is due. The man was a brilliant speaker. One of the best speakers I've ever heard in my life. He was incredibly talented. As a politician, yes, he won. He earned it. He was intelligent. He was incredibly talented. And he ran a brilliant campaign and he won twice. Kamala was none of that. She ran a terrible campaign and she was a horrible speaker and she lost.
Oh, and speaking of speakers, the very first debate, that's right, they only had one debate. Turned on by mistake, but I listened for a couple of minutes. The very first question the commentator asked her, she came out talking about her being a little girl on the bus or something like that. And I'm like, I don't remember the question, but I know it had nothing to do with her being a little girl.
She didn't answer no questions. I never heard somebody ask her a question. Hey, Kamala, what time is it? It's 4:17. Never. Every time, Kamala, what time is it? Well, you know, I was born in Canada, and Americans, have aspirations, and they went, and I'm like, can you just answer the question? Never did she answer a question. She was a terrible candidate, and she got what terrible candidates get. Go ahead.
Well, maybe they'll do better next time, but
they're going to have to rethink their program.
This should have been a learning lesson for them, but
don't seem like it.
I don't think so.
Yeah. All right. All right. Next call.
Right.
Thank you. Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from? You're on the air.
Yes. This is John McMillan, Silver Spring, Maryland.
All righty.
I have an issue for you.
Sure.
What do you think is the role, or should be the role, of African Americans in this solidly two-party system? Can black people, as our position is at this point, expect to get anything? Or should we, out of this two-party system, and should we be reevaluating the role that we play at this point in the Democratic Party?
Yeah, I think you're on to something. You know, in 2020, I remember when Ice Cube said we should ask these parties for something. You want our vote. What's in it for us? And all these people jumped on Ice Cube. Oh, why are you doing that? You're going to get Trump. You know what? I think he was right. I think it's transactional. Black folks got all these votes. If you want our votes, there should be something in return. And you know what? A lot of black folks stayed home and didn't vote because they didn't feel like it was anything in it for them. I think you're right. I think you're on to something, brother. Now, make sure you got the radio turned down in the back room, in the back, because that'll mess us all up. Are you there?
Okay. Yes, I am.
Go ahead.
So that was it.
All right.
Hear your critique of the
two-party
system.
I really do believe it. I think black people are a huge block of voting. And as we've seen, as Malcolm X said way back in the 60s, white voters go about even between the Democrats and the Republicans. And we come in and we decide who gets to be president. As he said, who goes to the White House and who goes back to the cotton patch in Texas? He was talking about LBJ. He said, but then they get in office and they got everybody but us to look out for. And in the end, we put them first and they put us last. It's time to say what's in it for us. If ain't nothing in it for us, then we ain't in it for you. And I think this was the beginning of that. You got to start somewhere. And I'm not, you know, I'm in neither party. I voted for Jill Stein, the Green Party, just because I'm so angry about Gaza. And she's got a brother on there, Brother Butch Ware, who is a Muslim guy and who's pushing back against the Gaza. I felt it was my duty to do whatever I could to oppose genocide. But hey, you know, the rest of it is what it is. And the Democrats don't seem to be learning nothing. They just want to blame everybody. They want to be historians. This happened back in 2020, 2016. They still talking about the Russians, the Iranians, whoever. And they ain't woke up enough to realize they just got their wigs pushed back, as they say in Baltimore. They messed around and got their wigs pushed back. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Next call, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Yeah, how you doing?
Make sure you turn that radio down.
I'm calling from Baltimore.
All right, what's happening, brother?
Yeah. Well, your last comment was my point, because Jill Stein almost got pretty close to 1 million votes.
Mm-hmm.
And what else was also surprising was the Kennedy guy.
Mm-hmm.
Kennedy got about 600 and some thousand votes, so that's where the other side of the group think went. And I just didn't think that Kamala... I think she thought that this issue about abortion was going to bring her the support of women, but that blew her out. I think a lot of women are more conservative than what was portrayed there. All this talk about a right with Roe versus Wade and stuff. Women didn't want to hear that.
And guess what? Last time I checked, when you go into the grocery store, I didn't see a price that says, this price for women, this price for white males, this price for... No! Everybody go into the grocery store and got sticker shock. Walk out the grocery store with a little bag, and you done paid $50 for this little bag. You're asking yourself, what am I doing? How am I going to afford this? That's what people... They got 2 and 3 kids, and they don't know, barely feeding their kids. You know what? At that point, as the old say, any point in a storm, people, I heard people say, well, I don't know. It was cheaper under Trump. Maybe it'll be cheaper. Maybe it won't. But I got to try. Now, I think they may be disappointed, but I understand why they did it.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Do you think that the Green Party is going to eventually grow?
I don't know what's going to happen. Yeah, I do think the Green Party is going to grow, though, but I don't know how much. But you know what? The truth is the party doesn't have to get but so big. All they got to do is get one or two senators in the Senate. And guess what? They can decide the whole Senate. They can tell all the other party people in the Senate, you know what? We got two guys here that are independents. If you don't go do what we'll want, we'll block you on everything and they can make some deals. So a couple people. All right. But thanks a lot. I'm going to try to get one more caller. All right, one more caller. We only got about a minute. Thank you very much. Next caller, you on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
But you know what? Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes. You are the last caller.
Yeah,
we got Bernie 1 minute.
Bernie from Baltimore.
Okay.
Yeah, Garland, first of all, great job. I mean, you're really shaking this up. Another thing that I think needs to be added to this, the Democrats, think of all the assets and the resources they pushed in this election. Over $1 billion in 100 days. How categorically wrong they were, because they assumed that voters could be manipulated, and they couldn't be. One of the very popular T-shirts at the Trump acceptance rally, according to one of the major news outlets, was the one that said he's a convicted felon. Because we know they brought that case during the election time as a tactic to try to disqualify him from the election.
Yep.
Now, you know, we need a candidate like Garland. You're a guy that, you know, I'd like to get your feedback on this. I think we're seeing the economy dividing into a set of knowledge workers, which are, and it could be knowledge workers of airplane mechanics, auto mechanics, software developers, finance people, et cetera, and industrial workers or non-knowledge workers.
Yeah.
And, you know, to me, the thing I'm really passionate about is you've got to get the cost of education down.
Yep.
Because, you know, if people want to get in the knowledge economy, you got to get that.
Well, how about this? How about this? You got all these people coming out of college at 23 years old. They got a house payment and no house.
Right.
You know what I mean?
100%.
And you think you're going to get their vote? You think they're going to vote for you?
We only have a couple seconds.
All right.
But my friend, no. What I want to say, you're doing a great job. You are so intelligent. Your style is, if somebody disagrees with you, you give them more time. You got to get people to debate and just get out of. Hey, you know, Rachel Maddow said this. Joe Scarborough said this. No.
All right. Well, we got to run. My main man is giving me the high sign. All right. Thanks a lot. Anybody that wants to get in touch with me, follow me. Look up Garland Nixon on YouTube, Garland Nixon on Facebook, Garland.Nixon on Instagram, at Garland N on Telegram. And last but not least, this is my true email address. It's my first name and the first letter of my last name, Garland N. @gmail.com. Go ahead. If you didn't get a chance to call or whatever, if you got something you're thinking about, garlandn@gmail.com. Go ahead and email me. I'll respond. I love to do that. I sit at the computer and respond every week to people who email me. Peace. Thanks a lot to my main man, Kalia. We got great music coming up next. And here's some house music. Just a little bit of something. This is El Comandante. I think that's Fidel Castro. I'm out.
de primavera.